inside of you and I today with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we can be strengthened, we can be encouraged, and we can be reassured that no matter what is going on the outside, we know that God is doing something on the inside of our hearts and lives. And I thank God for that, because He has extended His unmerited favor to you and I, that we can be the servant and the disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to be. And I thank God that we can come together, we can reassure one another, and we can encourage one another to know that you and I are not alone. We are not by ourselves, alienated on an island somewhere, away from God's Word and away from God, because God is with us, because He clearly lets us know that He is closer to us than a brother and a sister. And so I thank God today that you and I know that God is with us every step of the way. I am ending out today on my series called Rooted and Rising. And if you have missed any of those, you are more than welcome to go to our website, to www.vfclexington.org, and click into the media area, and you can begin to see those messages that I have brought. And of course, with Spotify and audio, you can listen to as well. But we're going to end out on this series on Rooted and Rising, sermon number 8. And the title of my message today is this: Negatives in the Christian Life. Negatives in the Christian Life. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the positives in the Christian life. The positives in the Christian life. But I want us to look at the negatives in the Christian life as well. And so if you have your Bibles today, the sword of the Spirit, hold those up high. That's clearly the Word of God. And I know there's one in the pew. It's going to be projected on the screen. But go with me to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. Ephesians 4 and 17, as we look into God's Word, the negatives in the Christian life on the Rooted Rising series. And let's look at this just a little bit. This I say therefore, as God's Word says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to works of uncleanliness, with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct of the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, and what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Can I hear an amen to God's word? Now, I want you to see this passage with me a little bit today, because in this passage, we see that the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And he sees that there are believers that were starting in the right direction. But as they were starting in the right direction, he began to see that they were no longer walking in the right direction, but they were walking in the wrong direction. And therefore, he began to let them know, you cannot continue to walk in the wrong direction and do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to do. And so he begins to say, these things have crept in to your hearts, it's crept into the church. And he is saying, these are the things that you cannot continue on and do kingdom work. And so we are challenged today as a church within a society that we are living in, that we are challenged every day, that things seem to creep into our hearts and lives, and if we're not careful, it will creep into our churches, and therefore, if we're not careful, the world will not see a difference because of everything else that's going on around them. I think God clearly lets us know that we have to be separated. In other words, we love the world, but we're not of the world. We want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are the salt and the light to a world that is dying. Therefore, they need to see a difference in your life. They need to see a difference in my life. They need to see that there is a difference, because if not, we will go as the world will go as well. I want you to know today, as we look at this closely, the delightful prospect of growing up, as we see this, both children and parents are pleased at growth. Yet we see at the very beginning, we see the first smile of a child that's coming into the world. We see them as they grow. We see a smile. They're making face gestures. We love all the oohs and the goos of children and the children that we may have. Yet we see the first tooth that comes through. And we see the first tooth that is that's been pulled. And yet we will save it and we'll hold on to it. Yet we'll see the first steps of them walking. We'll hear the first words of them speaking. And yet the Christian life also has such progress that we are to grow in God. After the new birth, after we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, it becomes a growth. And as we begin to grow, we begin to hear God's word. And not only do we hear God's word, then we begin to apply the word of God into our hearts and lives. And it becomes a process in which we live day in and day out. We mature so that we can take responsibility, which brings satisfaction. Let me say it again. We mature so that we can take responsibilities, which bring satisfaction. This becomes the principle of life. Irresponsibility sounds like freedom, but ends up in emptiness. And I want you to know today, for us to be the servant that God has called us, for us to be the disciple that He has called us, we need to understand that disciple means the word, means discipline. Therefore, we are subject under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and therefore, when we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, we become disciplined as we become the disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I to become. Accomplishment brings satisfaction. When you accomplish something in life, whatever it may be, it becomes satisfaction. You begin to be satisfied because you have accomplished something. Whether you're in school or whether you're achieving a job or a position or anything that you try to strive for, you feel satisfied because you have achieved it. That's the way it is spiritually with the Lord. When we begin to hear the milk of the Word, and as we begin to grow, we find that that becomes satisfied under our soul. And as we begin to hear the Word, then we begin to go from milk until the meat of the Word, and we begin to draw strength. We become stronger in Christ Jesus. We become soldiers for the cross, and we begin to know that when anything comes our way, we will be able to withstand. We will be able to know exactly how to counterattack against the enemy when he wars against you and I and our soul. I want you to know today, in this maturing progress or process, there will be some negatives that will come our way. Listen, I want you to know today, as I've always said, we're not on a cruise liner. We are on a battleship for the Lord Jesus Christ. And being a Christian does not mean that everything is going to be peaches and cream. It doesn't mean that every one of us is going to be on cloud nine. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some tests. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some things that we're going through. But understand this, you are not alone. You are not alone. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've been through it, I've gone through it, and if I've been through it and I've gone through it, then you're going to go through it, but He's going to help us through all the things that we go through because we're not left alone. You may say today, well, Pastor, how come we're not left alone? Well, we're not left alone because we've got the Comforter. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got that that's within us, that's living within us, so He's not leaving us comfortless, but He's giving a comfort unto us so that we will be able to withstand the things that come our way. What are the negatives of Christian maturity? First, I want you to know this today. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Let's look at the word Gentiles. Let us not walk as others walk. Okay? Let us not walk as the world walks. Understand, we are walking a different road. When we did not know Jesus Christ, when we did not accept Jesus Christ, Jesus had his mind on you and I. We were walking on a wrong road. But when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, then we got on the right road. And so we need to be careful that we're not walking as the world is walking. You are in the world, but not of the world. Seems like in our society, we get in the world, we want to be of the world. But as Christians, we're in the world, but not of the world. We are to be salt and light. We are to be a light to those that we come in contact with. Why? Because we have crucified the flesh. That's why we read Galatians 2 and 20 every Sunday morning. Some may say, well, that's just a ritual thing. No, that's the Word of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live by faith with Christ Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the church, but it's about Jesus Christ transforming the church and transforming our hearts so that we can be the disciple and the servant that the Lord Jesus Christ has called you and I to do. We are to be the servant and be dedicated, consecrated, and to know His divine nature is to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform the mind. And when He transforms the mind, He transforms the heart, that you and I may be what Christ has called us to be. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. It is time for us to not sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else go by. It is not for us to let somebody else do the job. It's not for us to sit down and say, well, let's just let such and such do this and do that, and I'll just do this and I'll do that. No, God has called you and I to be sold out, dedicated, consecrated for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. The Bible clearly lets us know in Ephesians 4 and 17, this I say therefore and testify unto the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world walks, because their mind has been distracted. Things have got their minds on other things. Their mind is not thinking on Jesus Christ. Their mind is thinking about who they are, what they are, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to say it, when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it. And we live in that society and everything is about I, me. But listen, Jesus says that if we're going to follow Him, we must deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Take up not His cross. He's already bared the cross. Take up your cross, my cross, and begin to follow Him, denying ourselves. We've got to deny the flesh. We've got to deny the things of the desires and the lustful things that we have. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we keep the Adamic nature down. We keep it crucified. That's why we have to go to the cross. That's why we go to the cross every day of our lives. That's why we've got to kneel at the cross to know that the life that which we live is living for Christ, not for the world. Listen, there is to be a difference. There must be a distinct difference in our walk with God. We are not to adapt to the world. We're not to blend in with the world and their ideas and theories and opinions. We are to hold fast to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, which is the Word of God. That becomes our GPS. That becomes our roadmap. That begins the process in our walk as we walk spiritually and develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I like to add the word brand new. God is about new things. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to reconcile to Christ as we continue to share the love with others, letting them know where the light is coming from, and knowing that the light that's within you can shine abroad to others that we come in contact with. This is really saying walk not as you used to walk. Let me say it again. It's really saying walk not as you used to walk. You're on a different road, folks. You're on a different path. You're beating to a different drum now. You're running a different race. You're running a race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, listen, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, and with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He has given you the grace. He is grace. When your mind was not on God, and I can say here today in this room, and I'm sure those that are watching today, there were a time that your mind was not on Jesus. But understand one thing. Jesus had his mind on you and I. Why? Because he formed us. He made us. He created us in his image, that we may live out the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible lets us know, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, according to the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. Yet the question would be, how does the world walk? It walks in the vanity of the mind, having their understanding darkened. This is what's happening in the world. Having blind hearts, giving themselves to lasciviousness, working uncleanness with greediness. That describes our world to a T. And I want you to know today, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Don't be called up as Christians in this, as the world is called up in this. Set yourself apart. Begin to say, Lord, I fully surrender to your lordship. Lord, I fully surrender and to be dedicated and consecrated unto you, Lord. Create, as David said, create in me a clean heart, a right mind. Lord, you know my ways. Father God, help me not to make the mistake that I have been making or will be making, but Lord, let me be fully surrendering to your lordship. Second, I want you to know today, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Never let a day end being angry. Some people live with anger constantly. Anger gets things from them and moves others. Tantrums unless they get their way. Sulling and sobering and silence with a silence treatment. We are never to let a day end in anger. In other words, we're to make sure that we get everything right because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what God will bring because we don't know what tomorrow will be. Some sad situations between even husbands and wives, for example. Thunder and lightning each night. How shall we deal with anger? Give it to Jesus. Confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible clearly says if we act like that we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. So folks, I want you to know today, we all must go by the way of the cross. We must fully surrender to His Lordship and say, Lord, I'm not a perfect man because there's not a perfect man, there's not a perfect woman, there's not a perfect child. The only perfect man that walked this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ that knew no sin, but sin was placed on Him for you and I, that you and I may have freedom and liberty, that you and I may have victory on top of victory, that it would not be doom and gloom and agony defeat, but it'd be the power and the demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that you and I can be overcomers in Christ Jesus. That's the power, that's the victory that you and I have, that we can conquer any mountain that comes our way because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Third, I want you to know today, let him that stole steal no more. As I said last Sunday, apparently there was somebody in the church that were stealing. You will say, Pastor, is there somebody in churches today? I don't know. They might be, but apparently they were here. Ephesians 4 and 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor and work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. Apparently this person that was stealing thought he had a need. And Paul says, listen, all that energy that you got from stealing from God and stealing from others, why don't you just quit and just begin to give from your heart and begin to give what God has given unto you instead of you taking all your energy of stealing something else. Listen, let God change your heart from stealing and begin to let God steal your heart to do the right thing with Him. How strange a statement like this is necessary. Some addicted to stealing, some may do shoplifting, taking things from employers, stealing from others. And let me go a step further, stealing from God. And I want you to know today, when you begin to steal from God, you are stepping on dangerous grounds. Because the Bible clearly lets me know in Malachi, will a man rob God? And they say, oh, well, how are we robbing you, Lord? Well, you're robbing God through tithes and offerings. And it's very dangerous to step on grounds when you're taking from what is God's. Because God has clearly let us know that you can't outgive Him. And He lets us know that when we give from our hearts, because God sees the intent of our hearts. And here, let me go a step further. I'm going to touch on this a minute here. It's not the amount that you give. Because some says, well, Pastor, when I get $1 million, I'll give it to God. Or when I get $1,000, I'll give it to God. Listen, if you had $1,000, you'd want $2,000. If you wanted $2,000, you'd want $5,000. Listen, when God can entrust you, as the woman gave the widow's mite, she gave all she had. The value was not great, but the heart was greater because she gave everything she had because she entrusted in her Lord, because she knew her Lord would take care of her if she gave all that she had. And that's exactly what God is asking you and I. It's not the amount that you give, but He wants you to give with the intent of the heart that, Lord, you are the provider. Lord, you are the giver. Lord, you are the taker. But blessed be the name of the Lord, because God will be God, and He will show up, show out, and show you who He is when you give from your heart and not giving from your mouth. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Folks, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing when you begin to give from your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He will give as His word says. He cannot lie. God does not lie. You've heard me say it. People say, oh, God can do anything. No, He can't. Oh, but He can do anything. No, He can't. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Why? Because He is the Word. And the Word does not lie, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it dwelt among us. He cannot lie. So take it to the bank, folks. He has a promise that He has to keep. Listen, let me go on in my closing. Yet this calls for the generosity and the honesty of our hearts and our minds. Fourth, in my closing, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The Bible clearly lets us know in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary of the edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. I've always said, my grandmother always said, she said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Because listen, that negative that we give is going to be negative to somebody else. And then they're going to be negative. And then they're going to be negative. And they're going to be negative. And it becomes a chain reaction when negativity comes. I don't know about you, but I want all the encouragement I can get. I hear enough discouragement in the world. You hear enough discouragement in the world. I want to hear some encouragement. By our words, we are to be judged. James and his comments about the tongue. What is corrupt communication? Some get as close to profanity as possible. It seems like today, GD is one of the best words around, I'm assuming, because it just seems like everybody just uses it with that everyday language. The F-bomb, it seems like everybody uses the F-bomb like it's just a natural thing. But that's the world which we live in. But we're not to be of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. When you hear GD, you know, I cringe. And when I hear the F-bomb, I cringe. But that's the world which we live in. But yet, people sees your light and sees your life, and they know there's a difference. I had a guy which I work with today on my job. I'm bivocational. And this is back a few years ago, but one of the workers that was working with me says, I know you've had to cuss when you got mad. I know you've had to say something when you've gotten mad. And one of the guys that I worked with for many years, I worked with him over 20 years. First time I'd ever heard him say anything, he spoke up and he said, well, that guy right there that you're talking about, I've never heard him say the first cuss word. Folks, I'm not pinning a bouquet on me. I'm just letting you know people are looking at your life. They're watching your life. When you say that you are what you are, they're looking at you every day on how you handle the situations that you handle in life. When pressure gets to a pressure point that it becomes a pot that's about to explode, they're going to see how you're able to handle what you're going through. God is not so concerned so much about what you're going through. He's more concerned about how you handle what you're going through. Not that he's not concerned about what you're going through, but he wants to see how you handle what you're going through. Why? Because he has equipped you and I for these moments. He has equipped us for these challenges. He has equipped us. That's why he says, put on the whole armor of God, not just some of it, not just part of it. You don't put it on when you need it. You put it on, you keep it on, you sleep with it, you wake up with it, and you go through life with the whole armor of God because you don't know when you may need it. It's almost like life insurance. It's almost like fire insurance. You may not use it right now, but when it does happen, you got it. You got it. And that's the way it needs to be with our lives every day. That's the insurance. That's the endurance that you and I will be able to withstand those things that come our way. You may say, well, Pastor, that'll never happen to me. I've been this and I've been that. Yeah. That's what they all say. But wait till they get on fire. Putting on the whole armor of God is being prepared for the battle, not in the battle. You prepare before the battle. Military prepares before the battle. They don't prepare during the battle. Why? Because they'd be sitting ducks because they were not prepared. God says, be prepared, be equipped. Your adversary, the enemy, is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. And yet we have to be prepared. Listen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable into your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. David knew exactly who he was talking to. 5. I've got more than 3 points today. I'm getting close here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 and 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Your body is His temple. Let me say it again. Your body is His temple. He lives in your body. This should make you careful and help you mature, as this is the body of the Lord that lives inside. This is the temple. Stop grieving the Lord in word. Stop grieving the Lord in thought. Stop grieving the Lord in deed. Understand that He paid a price for you and I. And therefore, we are to continue to live out what Christ has lived before us on this earth. What shall we do if these things remain in our lives? If these things continue to remain and negativity continues to remain, we've got to confess. I've done shared with you 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.